Going. Okay, well, God bless everyone and welcome to another Skype fellowship. Really excited for this one. And just to let you know, this will be my last one because I go to India Wednesday, and that's March the 11th, and I'll be back March the 27th, which is a Friday. So it'll probably be April. The first Thursday in April I'll be back. So Kim will continue to do the fellowship anyway. So Kim, while you're there, look over. As you can see, we got the Skype going.
Yeah, we don't have to do this.
No, just quickly show you. Look, here's three dots there. And you click on those dots. And then you press start recording. And it records the Skype fellowship, all right? So I've got to show Kim how to do all this because she needs it all to me to do. So, well, anyway, who would like to open up a word of prayer and begin to share? Anyone?
There we go.
Go for it, Amy. Nice and loud, sweetheart.
Well, Father, thank you for your love, God. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Spirit that has been poured out into us for life, God. Thank you, Father, that we get to talk to you and walk with you. Thank you, Father, for it just being bigger than we can ever imagine. But the day is coming, Father, when our Lord will come back. Father, thank you for that day. Thank you, Father, that you had us in mind since the beginning of time, that it is your great love, your love and your love alone, that we exist because you want us. So there's nothing that you will withhold from us. You want all good things for us. And you desire to be our Father every moment, every day, talking to us, walking with us, and we are so grateful and thankful for that. Thank you, God, because there is nothing, no problem, no situation, no circumstance that cannot be handled by and has already been handled by you, Father. And that all we need to do is just rest in that knowledge that you are God and we are not. So thank you, Father, for just the plans that you have for us. Specifically, God, I would like to lift my daughter Candace to you right now and thank you, Father, for her body. Thank you, Dad, how you have already paid for it and that you are doing what you do, Father, and that we rest in that. Thank you, Father, for the peace that we have, God. Thank you, God, for the believers that are across the world, Father, just experiencing your peace and your joy and your grace and the strength to move and the things that you've given them to do, the excitement to live, being encouraged in the things that you've set in front of them. Thank you for those that have questions, God, giving them answers. Thank you, Father, that and those people who are there to encourage us, that you give them great encouragement because you never can give anything away that you don't have. So I thank you, Father, for how you poured out to us all. And I thank you for this wonderful fellowship. Thank you for Kim and Lawrence, Father, and how you have filled them and built them up and how you poured into their lives so that we benefit from that, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you and give you all praise and glory, God, for how you are so wonderful. So thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
So, this has been a very interesting week, people. It has been a lot of stuff that has been going on, and I specifically prayed for my daughter Candace because, there's just these things that are going on in her body, autoimmune, blah 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 blah. God is bigger. God is bigger. And I noticed when I was praying for her last Sunday, and I was, praying for her fellowship, and I noticed that, there was a bit of twinge of anticipation, and I was like, oh, no, not out of fear, be out of confidence. This is, This is what he's done. I am going to, you know, get in the Word with God on that whole thing about how when I'm praying, that it is not out of fear, but out of the confidence that I have in Him. You know, what does it say in 1 John? If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence in God? I want my heart to always be confident and to not be afraid. You know, fear is not, you know, the bondage of fear is what takes the joy out of being a believer. I mean, of the born again life, the new nature, you know, being in bondage is what just rips off the joy. And the thing is that, you know, being having spirit in me, this is eternal life. And so I am not in that bondage, you know. I am in the freedom, the liberty wherewith I can stand in the very presence of God without any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation. You know, it took me a long time to figure that out. You know, because, because it's just religion. You know, yes, but, you know, you can't do this, and, oh, be careful. No. All of that, every last bit of it has been paid for by the stripes of Jesus Christ, by the blood that He spilled. And the bigger, to me, the bigger thing is that God did that for us so that we could continue to live this life that He promised for us. There is a day coming when that which is bothering us will no longer exist. And right now, right this very moment, at this very second, I have victory over that. So I don't have to live in fear, and I don't have to live in bondage. I don't have to even consider those things because it has been paid for. God's desire is for me to walk in joy all the time. So not allowing the situations or circumstances to, you know, to not steal my joy is right up there in the very front of my mind, that prefrontal cortex. Yes, I'm going to school. That prefrontal cortex, that's, you know, you don't get to steal my joy. There have been some things, I'm not kidding you guys, I got knocked off of my butt this week, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, I let him shock me. No. I remember Dr. Warren said, don't let anything ever shock you. I remembered it after I got up off my butt, and I went, well, and that's figurative, not literal, but I was like, damn it, I actually got shocked. And I didn't realize it until I called somebody on the telephone and I asked them, you got to pray with me because this is what happened. And I just, you know, it was really very disturbing. And when he prayed, he said, you know, that, yeah, this is, sometimes things happen, you know, and they kind of shake you a little bit, but, you know, you don't take your eyes off of God, you know. Before he prayed for me, he told me that we don't take our eyes off of the Father. And, you know, and then he was telling, you know, he's like, and, you know, and there's no condemnation, you know, because if you made a mistake, you know, there's no condemnation. And I thought about that for a little while. It took me 2 days to realize what that meant. I was in the right place at the right time to see a huge, to see my Father move in that situation. And I got afraid because of where I was. And I thought, okay, never again. That'll never happen again. But it took me 2 days to realize, what's he talking about? And then I realized, oh my gosh, I gotta play. I cannot believe that, because that's just not in me. That is not in me. I don't do fear. But I sure did get afraid, and it took me 2 days. Well, praise God. All right, Father, I'm sorry. I've been doing this in my own strength. And I, I'm sorry. Can we start over? And we start over. And I'm just so thankful, because in this proper perspective, guys, guess what? We are living eternally, and I'm practicing for eternity right now. So anyway, no fear. That's what I wanted to share. No fear. Do not let the enemy roar and make you stop or be afraid or be shocked. Some situations, it had been years since the last time I had faced something like that. And so I guess, you just sort of forget. Well, okay. But it doesn't matter. I am who I am because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I still stand before God. And, it's a wonderful place to be, living eternally with Him and with my Lord. And, that's what I had to share. No fear, people. No fear.
Amen.
So, let me see. So, Frank and Annie, my French friends, brothers.
Yeah.
Hey,
Amy. Hello, believers. Hello, Lawrence Kim.
God bless you.
Me too.
Love you.
Love. I'm going to begin. I'm blessed because I met someone, in the ambulance driver, I even, said nothing special, not speaking. But she began and spoke about the cross, and I knew she was a believer, and I started to speak about healing, about different faith, about grace. And that was good because I didn't begin. she began it, and I shared, what was on my heart and saw the limits of her, but just letting her know about Jesus Christ and what's available with healing and to minister healing. And it was, just speaking about God, and I was blessed with that these days, And yes, God is at work, He is a really wonderful God, and He gives strength, courage, wisdom, love. And yes, God, He's at work. He's really moving greatly and mightily, because God said that we don't need to see it. We just speak about it, and He's at work, and we just look only to God and expect great things from God. And God is in us, and we are children of God, and with His mighty power, almighty power, and we can tap in Him and really have joy and confidence and strength and wisdom, Lord. Then that's what I wanted to share, not so long. And Annie, do you want to...
Nothing special. Just to say that I have a verse in, I think, 2 Corinthians. Yeah.
Ah, oui.
9:8. And God is able to make all grace abundant toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I don't know if I pronounce good, but yes. I think that is there to be our provision, and we must all just make our eyes on Him. And just to know that when we give in this system of God, not the system of God, of the world, when we give something, when we give tithe, when we tithe, we are making something special in His kingdom. And He always responds with good things not only for us, but also for just to give to another. Not just giving, He didn't give just enough.
Just to give.
He give us beyond once we can buy, we can ask or think, and He gives also what money can't buy. Yes, just is my small sharing. Thank you. I love you.
Wonderful. Thank you both of you. Do you want to pick someone else, Frank? Bless you.
Yes. Yes. Kim Haley. God bless you. Kim Haley. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Hi, Kim.
Bonsoir. Good evening.
Bonsoir.
Thank you for that teaching, Annie and Frank. Very humble and very poignant. For myself, there are two sisters of mine who have been hurt, one physically and one friend of mine. She had a fall and very badly injured her leg and her arm. And another sister of mine from the church, but she is a born-again Christian because I sent her the text, Romans 10:9 and 10, that she should say out loud to herself. Her husband had a bad stroke in January, and she's struggling to cope because although he's still in hospital, he can speak a little bit, he can take solid foods. It's difficult to believe others, but and I don't know her husband, but I was sharing with her that I believe her husband will pull through. She's prayed for him, and I said, you don't need to pray again because it's in God's hands. The healing has already been carried out. And I sent her some verses on the messenger to share with her, to give her some courage, because she needs courage and words of comfort, support and love. So I've done that a couple of times, and I think she's read them. I'm sure she has. She is quite a devout woman, a woman of God. And my other friend who had a fall, I witnessed to her, ministered to her healing. And although we know that things don't happen instantaneously, sometimes it may come immediately, sometimes not. But I said to her that you are healed, And of course we know that it stands in 1 Peter 2:24 that who himself, Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, much more live for righteousness, and by whose stripes, our Lord and Saviour's, or wounds, you were healed, past tense. So she took heart from that, and I said to her, well, you know, I didn't write this, it's there in the book. So she is, it's only happened 2 days ago, 3 days ago, but she's on the mend, as they say. So it's two people I care about because they are sisters in Christ, and I'm believing in both cases they shall win through, because it's God's will that we, well, Jesus Christ has made us winners, but God wants the best for us, and he doesn't want to see us, God doesn't want us sick or ill or anything or poor, any of these things. So, That's what I wanted to share, two special people. So I'd like to give it over to Anna Isabella, if Anna's with us.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, Anna. Hi, Pedro. God bless you guys. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you for those words. Annie, merci. Thank you for the verse you read, 1 Corinthians 9:8, I think, because it has something to do with grace. Today, I don't have a lot to share, because I always say I don't have anything to share. What am I going to say? But, you know, thinking about what I, you know, every morning, as I usually say, when I'm going to work, I speak a lot with God, ask things, and praise him. And today I was thinking about grace. I was feeling so blessed, and today I didn't have a lot of questions or things for him to fix for me, to give me direction, to teach me, to show me at work or stuff. I just delivered some situations, and then I start thinking about grace, and there is a lot to say about it, but there isn't a lot to say about it, because if we can short the sentence, by grace we have everything. God gave us all grace, by his all grace that is ours, and he gave us everything. We were saved by grace, we were justified by grace. There is a psalm that say that God is a sun and shield, and he will give grace and glory. He will not deny any good for us. So everything he has done for us, it was by grace, and we should be really thankful, because by grace we have everything that we need and more. And even Noah find grace before God, and it was in the Old Testament. So grace has always been there since the beginning, and will always be, I don't say till the end, because there is no end. This is a never-ending story. It has no end. And this is great to think, and I challenge you, go and see things about grace. See something in the morning or during your day, just a little bit. Yes, it is Psalms 84:11. Yes, that one. And go and see something about grace and all these good things that God has made for us. It will help you to have a better morning, a good day, because those thoughts from God will fill our hearts and will help us through the day. Yes, it's grace, and I'm really thankful for that. That was what I have to share with you, and I live with the God of all grace, and I'll pass the word to Pedro.
Hi guys, bless you guys.
God bless you. Thank you, Anna.
I was here listening to what had been shared before, and I don't have a lot of share today, but I was first of all, I would like to notice or make notice something that is going on right now on this world around us, right? I don't know how you guys are, or in your countries, how that is the impact is having it on your, I mean, personal or public life. But here in Portugal, this thing about this virus, about the we call it the coronavirus. You know, that virus from the influenza that came from China and is stopping people from go freely around the world traveling because people are afraid. Even we at school, we had to cancel some visits we had with the students going to Lisbon and other places where there are a lot of tourists because they think it's not safe. But what I'm trying to bring here is that the adversary is trying to do something right now to restrain our liberty, not only a liberty of you know, traveling and moving, and that happens. And that's what I wanted to share, one of the things I wanted to share. That happens because something spiritual is start moving on, rolling on, you know. Not only a Tullius tour, but also the things we are doing right now, like this fellowship Skype we have, and Lawrence was sharing that about that the other day, how in German some believer girl that was listening to it start a fellowship there. All this is something that is shaking spiritual, the adversary's world. And even maybe this trip Lawrence has to do soon. And so the adversary is trying to fight back the way he can, you know, trying to make fear on people and trying to stop the freedom that we should have to move and to move God's word and to move God's word move on this world. I just would like to remind this Psalm 91:7 that says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Doesn't matter what the adversary tries to do. He has rights on this world with the people he owns, the people that are not under God's umbrella of grace and mercy and protection. And that's not by accident that disease started in China, you know. It probably wouldn't start in a Christian country. It can happen, but it had happened, like the plague in the Middle Age. But what I'm saying is, but in the Middle Ages, even if they thought they were Christians, many of them were not really Christians. You know, they were not believing in the truth of God and Christ. Anyway, what is important here is for us to see the spiritual side of all this. This is part of the spiritual fight, you know, the spiritual battle that sometimes gets physical, you know, or gets in the physical world. There's repercussions in the physical world. And the adversary is just trying to stop, to make more difficult for believers to move around, because God is moving on us, you know. We move with God, but he can't stop it. He can't really stop it. He just tries to make fear as his main weapon, and people in the world that don't trust God can you know, fall on that. But we, as sons of God, we know better, and we know that God is on our side, and he already promised in his word that nothing would happen to us. And more even now that we are sons, we have the right to use the power and the authority God gave us through Christ. And it can really not stop God's will to happen, to become in truth and alive in this world, and we are the ones who carry that will of God. We are the ones who carry it on, you know. We are the ones that make it happen through our believing and listen to what God asked for us to do. And it's not the adversary who's going to stop it. The only thing can stop it is if we believe in his lies and his tricks and his fear. The only thing that really would stop us. But if we do really believe in what God says, we'll move on according to God's plan and God's will and God's direction. And there's no plague that can stop it, you know? So we don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to be, you know, considering it, whatever. And other thing I would like to share is completely different. And it comes on the light of what I shared last time about how God is asks for us now great deliverance and great, he still fights for us. You know, God in the Old Testament was called the Lord of hosts, you know, the one who fight for his people. He still is that, you know. God didn't change. He just, now he's our daddy, he's our father, which he was not in the Old Testament. But he's still the Halloween, you know, the creator. He's still Jehovah, the one that keeps his promises to his people. He's still Rapha, which is the God that heals. He's still Yah, the God of, you know, singing and praise to his deliverance. That's just a few names I know from God, from the Old Testament, not many. Maybe the ones that I have more to do with that and bless me more. And he's also El Shaddai, the Almighty. And the Lord of Hosts, I don't know how it is in the Old Testament, but I know he was called the Lord of Hosts, the one who fights for us. And I was thinking about all this the other day, and God started showing me things like, you know, if you go to the promises of God for the believers in the Old Testament, like in Psalm 20, I many times remember this psalm in my life, and I'm going through some stuff now. It doesn't matter what it is. Sometime I will probably share about it when it's finished. And in Psalm 20, in verse 22, there's no Psalm 20, 22, so I'm wrong here. It's a psalm that says that God will avenge us. He will be our avenger. He will make justice for us. He will avenge us. Maybe it's Proverbs. I don't know. I messed up. Doesn't matter. You can find it like that later. In the Old Testament, they could claim for God's revenge, you know, God's justice, and God would allow the adversary to damage the life of their enemies, you know. That's what was available then. But for us, it's different. We are a step further than that, you know. In Romans 12, what God tells us for us directly as his sons, and we see, start reading here in verse 17, it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lie in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto word. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, say the Lord." And this is a quote from the Old Testament. But what God says now is, we don't have to claim for revenge, you know. Verse 20, "Therefore, if thy enemy anger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." You know, this is an image. We'll do something good for him. And it says in 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That only is possible because we have Christ in us. Only the love of God in Christ in us can make us, you know, able to do this. If we didn't have the Spirit of Christ in us, we couldn't do this, we couldn't be so loving. Because it's not humanly possible. Our human nature doesn't allow that kind of love, you know. Only the love of God in Christ in us is what makes us able to overcome evil with good, to love our enemies, to try to even do what is better for them. And Christ teaches that when he said to when they beat you in the face, you show the other face. It means when they are violent against you, you won't be violent against them, but you show them another way to deal with that, the godly way. The way of mercy, the way of compassion, the way of understanding, and the way of healing and deliverance from what is wrong, you know, like, you know, violence, whatever, lying, all the things the adversary throw at us, we don't fight back with the same kind of response. We fight back with the love of God, which is much powerful, and will disarm the adversary and make him, you know, with no strength, because he can't do nothing against God's love. That's the big deal, you know. The adversary can trick us when we are mad, when we want to be avenged or want revenge over someone. But when we are loving, he has no open doors to work on our lives. Because that love of God, that light of God, which God is love, will cast all evil from us and others, if they will receive it. And that's the big fight, the big winning, the big victory, is to remain on that love, you know. Don't give up from that love. Don't give up. God gave it to us. It's ours. The adversary can touch it. The adversary can trick us. The adversary cannot steal that love God gave us. Nothing can separate us from the God of love in Christ Jesus. It's in Romans also 8 something. You know that. So, that's the big fight we have right now in this world, this moment, is to keep being loving with this world, if it's possible, and with the believers, the family, the love in the family of God. Keep fighting for that love. It's the good fight. It's the one who's going to bring us great rewards in eternity. It's the one that's going to give us great joy in this world. It's the one that God makes our daddy so glad, so proud, and so pleasant with us. And that's what he is. He's love, and we are love because he loves us. And guys, that was my sharing for you, so I'm going to call on Russell if he's there. Russell, calling you on you twice.
Before you go, Russell, thank you, Pedro. Now you brought that up, because it was on my heart I was going to share on that tonight, and then God said no. And I didn't understand why, but now I understand why. So that was really great what you shared. So now, it says in the scripture, Jesus Christ said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, whatever we ask it, it'd be done, right? So let's get someone to pray about this coronavirus, and then we'll command the thing, right? Because we got authority, and, you know, we can use that authority. So what I would like to do, I would like to call on first Pedro to pray about this virus right now. Give it up to God and whatever comes to your heart to pray. And then we're to come into agreement with you. And everyone else, just speak in tongues right where you are. And let's go for this. Let's, you know, we're believers. We're to rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. And what the biggest thing God was showing me about this, because obviously being on Facebook, you know, you see it everywhere. And God just kept saying to me, pay it no attention. Don't give it your focus. And so I didn't, you know, so, and I just trust God that he's taking care. Yea, though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. So on, Psalms 23, Psalms 91, that word pestilence is, it also comes from cattle, diseases and viruses from cattle, you know. So like, God's got that covered, and we got to believe those promises. And that's what we, you know, we know who we are. We know that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We have God's protection. So, Pedro, if you like to, whatever comes to your heart to pray, and I'm going to ask someone to command, a couple of people to command this virus to drop dead, because it's got no right to exist amongst us.
Okay.
Okay.
Daddy, I go to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and I thank you, Father, for your great love and power over this world, and your light display all the darkness that the adversary is trying to bring in with this particular disease and others. And I thank you also for all the family members and people that we know that have right now to deal with either be cancer or whatever, that this world says there's no cure for it. I thank you now in the name of Jesus Christ, God, I thank you now for all that will be cast out from the lives of these ones that are dear to us, and that you share and extend your grace to the ones we care for, the ones that are dear for us. And also I give in your hands now our countries and all the places where our step will be, that the adversary has no right there, because we are there and we are your sons, Daddy. And as you say, we are the ones that have your authority in this world. So in that authority, in that name, I command now, in the name of Christ, that every place our steps in will be completely delivered from this adversary, diseases, whatever it tries to bring in, so that your power and the glory to you will be manifest, and people know that there is a God. There is a God which is our Father, which is the true God, and that's the God of love. And that His Spirit in us, the Comforter, the one that guides us, the Consoler, that guides us in all truth, will be manifest through us with your grace and power and love. So, Daddy, I thank you for that happened right now in this world, and for your great events that you have planned, and nothing can stop them, because you said it and they are going to happen. And your family now I gave in your hands too, so that all the divisions and all the mistakes and misunderstandings and all the hurt that has been used by the adversary to separate your sons, mainly for you, from you and from others, I give you that now, and I thank you, Daddy, for you give us the world, the words and the love and the compassion and the understanding to heal the hearts and bring them back to you, Daddy, not to anyone else than you, so that you can carry them in your arms as you have been carrying us in your lab, Daddy. And I know, Daddy, that that's your great desire for us, to have us close to your heart, Father. So I thank you for that heart being always available and open for us, and that you can step in your grace, in your great love and mercy, and that nothing can stop what you have for us, Daddy. And I give you that now, right now, in your hands, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Absolutely beautiful, Petro.
Amen.
Right. Amy.
I'd like to pray too.
You can do it in a minute. Just hold on. Amy Battles.
Yeah.
I want you to directly command this coronavirus. Not pray, I want you to command it. Whatever God puts in your heart to speak forth, just command that coronavirus to die off. Whatever God puts in your heart. Because that's the authority. So we prayed. Now command.
Coronavirus, you must leave. You must depart. Die off. You are being cast into the abyss, and you are to not manifest in this world at all. You have been defeated. So depart and be gone. All those people, I put my hand on all those individuals who are believers, who are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Your bodies are clean in the name of Jesus Christ. And your health is returned and restored in the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay, Jason, you command also, please.
Coronavirus, your name is not above Jesus Christ's name. His name is above your name. You're dead. I curse you, you die instantly now all over the whole world. You stop infecting people, and wherever you've come from, that's gone. It's completely and utterly abolished in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And to God be the glory in Jesus Christ's name. We will not glorify anything that the devil has made. And I claim that as under our feet and gone, And I also claim full deliverance and healing to everyone who's been affected by it, even if they, even people that have died. Well, Father, I just pray you can do something, maybe to raise them back up. But, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper anyway. And every tongue rising up against us, we condemn. So coronavirus, you're condemned. That's it. You're condemned to death. That's it. Gone.
Thank you, Jason. And Russell, will you pray, brother? What's in your heart about that?
Well, don't need to pray, but like Annabelle shared, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. I've been studying this for many weeks. I told my daughter, she is in a bubble. We are in a bubble. Now, we do have rights and authority to rebuke this thing, whether it's man-made or people-made or where it's gone. It's in the U.S. I knew it was coming here. I told my daughter weeks ago. It doesn't matter. It's basically a pneumonia. Like what I posted comes from a reliable source. No, God, I command your love to permeate our hearts and minds as believers. We deliver this thing to your feet, the Lord Jesus Christ, our defense attorney. We are seated at God's right hand every waking moment. So we claim our rights and authority, that we are protected. And if it does continue, that it's been rebuked. So we let God handle it. He has the power. So we allow him to work. But in the meantime, we are fearless. Like, I'm basically taking a trip to the Philippines. Apparently, they say masks mean nothing. You don't need a mask. And I literally continue in the same faith I had when I first got born again.
Amen.
I almost never get sick for anything. And I have simple faith. And that's what we have. We don't get riled by any of this. We have the same faith as Jesus Christ. We go forward in that faith each and every day with all power conveyed to us through our Father. I mean, we're not into a religion. It is a way of life, and we hold ourselves up before the Father and walk in that life, like that Psalm 84. Our Lord God is a sun and a shield.
Amen.
We have the shield. We have it in Ephesians. We are fully equipped for anything. And it's just a distraction. It's a lot of fake news. It's about a lot of politics and Wall Street, all that. Who cares? We have, it doesn't even have to do with the USA or our government. We are sons of the highest. So we claim it and say amen. Love you. Thank you.
Amen. Beautiful, Russ. That's right on. Right on the money. And I love that, you know, because we don't, everywhere we tread our foot, that's our
amen.
Place. That's our place, you know, and it's, again, we don't have to, it's just another distraction. Another distraction to get our focus off and then to talk about it, give voice to it. We don't give voice to that. We give voice to the promises of God and what God says. We speak to the mountain. And, you know, so we don't pay attention. We just don't even give it a focus, you know. We're not stupid. We're wise. but we just don't give it attention. And, you know, and God has got our backs, and that's it. Either God's there or he's not. You know, we know and believe from our hearts that God is there. Jesus Christ has paid the price for everything for us, and we claim those great and precious promises, and we walk by the Spirit, being led by him. So that's really great. Great hearts. Wonderful. So, Mike and Norma are on tonight, which is great. Would you like to share, guys? You just need to unmute your mic, Mike. Your mic's muted. I don't know. There you go, we can hear you. Oh, now it's off again. It was on, then it went off. Just keep going, and I'll tell you when we can hear you. It's still off. There you go.
Yeah, here we go.
Go for it, bro. Go for it. God bless you.
Okay, we've missed you guys. How you doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. Missed you too. Good to hear your voice.
Same here. First, Norma's not actually right here. She's in the next room listening. I'd like to pray for her. I do have something to share, but I want to pray for her because she her back is locked up. So while, you know, she has a bad spasm in her back right now, and while everybody's there, I would just ask everybody to speak in tongues for her as I pray.
Yes, and no problem.
I'm just going to pray for her now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. I lift you, Norma. And I just claim the release of those muscles that are spasmed in the name of Jesus Christ. This is done through This is just not right, because her muscles should not be in a spasm right now. And it's just done through pressure on nerves. So, Father, I just claim a total release, total healing, and total restoring in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Mike, have you got your phone?
Yes.
Could you take your phone to where Norma is?
Yes, hold on.
Take your phone to where Norma is right now, if you could.
Okay. I am right now. Right. I am right where she is. Hold on.
If you can put your hands on her back, I want to minister, if that's okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, your hands on her back?
Yep.
Right where it is.
Yep.
Right, so Norma's muscles right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to go back to normal right now. I command all those muscles to relax. I command all the spinal nerves to come back into alignment. I command all contractions to stop. I command all discs to be lined up, for all the spinal column to be as it should be right now. I command that pain to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. You leave right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Begin to heal now. So, can she move at all? Could she do something that she couldn't do before right now?
Something. I don't
know. She says she's bending over. That's good.
That's cool. Okay, well, it's been prayed for. It's been ministered to. Now, just receive those words, Norma. And you are healed right now. You are healed. That's recovering right now as we speak. All that inflammation's going. The muscle spasms are going to stop. They're going to reduce right down and go. So just receive that word, and that's what you say out your mouth. Any pain you got, any discomfort, you just say it out of your mouth. It's gone. And then do something that you couldn't do, like move. Okay, Mike, I'll hand it back to you, bro.
Thank you.
Bless your heart, Norma.
Okay, she's walking.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
She's walking better than she did before. She wasn't before.
Yeah, just keep going. It'll come back to complete normalness.
Okay.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Willie, yeah. I'm going to put my mic on mute, so you carry on, bro.
Okay. A friend of mine in Africa, a believer, called me a week and a half ago. Our times are really different. He's 7 hours ahead, so we were like in the middle of the night. And his brother was picked up and arrested, actually 2 weeks ago. And they were somebody who's trying to rip off their, actually take their company from them, was charging his brother with charges that were not true. But he has dual citizenship in Africa and in America. So he's also an American citizen. Very wealthy guy, so he was able to bribe all of the, you name it, the judges, everything, you know, all the officials he was bribing because he had so much money. And this believer's brother actually retaliated and did something that he shouldn't have done. He started a part of his building on fire a little bit. Hello?
We can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you, bro. Carry on. We're just on mute.
Okay, no. I just heard something that sounded like it was clicked off.
No.
So that wasn't cool. But I started looking up all the ambassadors, everybody in the embassy, the American embassy there, and the African embassy here, and trying to get people that we can contact or whatever. Because, you know, like when a brother or a family member of a brother or sister in Christ, we just have to stand for each other. We have to fight for each other. You know, this household is important. I have my immediate family here, Norma, Nicole, and James. My brother and my sister are no longer, I guess, you know, my sister has not spoken to me for 25 years or so, and my brother, we have not been together because of the spirituality of it and because I am Christian. And so I really take this family of God extremely important, extremely important. You guys, the family of God is my family, and that's how we, you know, it should be amongst the household. And you know, the word of God talks about, you know, doing good to all, but especially to the household of God. And so needless to say, they took his brother away. And I prayed, and they put him in a local jail, so to speak. My friend came back to me. He said, "That's good." He said, "Because he'll only do a certain amount of time there, like 30 days or whatever." But then he called me back 3 days later and said that they just took him away to a hardened prison where they are going to charge him with a 20-year prison sentence. So then we really got hot and heavy in prayer. Really got hot and heavy in prayer. And I just got the word not 3 hours ago that all charges are being dropped.
Wow.
Wow.
All charges are being dropped.
Awesome.
Against his brother. Even what he did that was wrong and that was illegal, all charges are being dropped. And needless to say, his brother in Christ is like overjoyed, you know. And the power of prayer and the power of us standing in unity, you know, one body, one mind, as far as being like-minded on the word of God. And this this, you know, I've heard a lot of people, even at times believers, say, well, at least in a situation, at least we can do, at least we can pray. And my attitude is, no, the best we can do is pray. The best we can do. If our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prepared his day by prayer, we never see Jesus Christ, only in a, maybe two instances in the entire record of him in the Gospels, where he actually prayed at a given time. He prepared his day by prayer, hours of prayer, and then as he walked and as he was confronted with things or saw situation arises, he was already energized. He was pumped. That prayer was there, you know. And we really have to see the bigness of prayer. I really believe Satan wants to belittle prayer within us and within our society and within our world, because he knows that our prayer will belittle him and his minions. And that was a you should see the way, you know, he was talking when he contacted me on Skype. It was just, he was so overjoyed that his brother's going to be released in about 2 days. Totally acquitted, and you know, it's just amazing. And, you know, there, it's not like here in the United States where... if you're found not guilty here, there's a double jeopardy law. You can't be tried for the same thing. But there you could, you know. So this is a monumental deliverance, a monumental prayer answered. There's more than just those two who are seeing what God did. You know, it's the entire family. It's their friends that are aware, because they know what it's like when rich people just pay off these people. They just get, they see what happens. People just disappear. You know, someone cannot like you, and if they have enough money, they can send you away, you know, to jail for a long time. So this is pretty outstanding, and, you know, shouldn't take us by surprise that God can and does things like this. I just wanted to share that with you guys, because that's what the power of prayer and the power of people standing together, you know, going together and saying, I need help or I need prayer. There's a lot of times, and I believe the way we were raised in the ministry at times, a lot of us, you know, that we're afraid to go to people sometimes because people think that we're less spiritual or whatever, or that we're just confessing negatives. But it is a big deal for us to, you know, to stand together. And we've been seeing a lot more of that. You know, another believer called me the other night, and, you know, she had to have all these tests done because all her numbers and everything else was going crazy. Her kidneys, there were weird numbers coming through, and she was going to the doctor the next day. So late at night... we prayed, and she contacted me yesterday and said that all her numbers were down. So it's really, you know, it's just God, our loving God, and the power of prayer that he placed in our hands as a weapon, as a tool, and as a weapon. So it's just dynamic. And I'll shut up.
Oh, that's fantastic, Mike. What a great testimony, man. And it is prayer is the key to it all, and our faith with that prayer. Yeah. And then God goes to work on our behalf. And then we got to remember to use our authority, you know, as well in different situations where we, you know, we command, we speak to the mountain, we speak to the problems also. If it's devil spirits we know that are manipulating the situation, we can command them off. And it works. And you don't have to be with the person or the situation to command. You know, because, you know, Satan's the prince of the power of the air, and we just use our authority. They know. So, like, you know, I've seen this happen so many times, and I can remember when there was the volcano and it was stopping the flights. Can you remember that time?
Yeah.
And we just, us believers got together, and we just started to command. and they were saying there weren't going to be flights for ages, it was going to disrupt everything, but all that kind of debris went and it was over with that quick, you know. And we have authority and we got to believe that authority. So, yeah, really great stuff. And then the power of prayer, man, that's our audience with God. You know, we're
You're so correct. Jesus Christ, I mean, you know, the Lord does say that we can pray for the sick and should pray for the sick, and what, you know. It's called, you know, the prayer of healing is mentioned in the Word of God. But when you look at Jesus Christ's life, he never prayed for an individual. He commanded.
Yep.
You know, that simple command, where the guy that had to with the hand, he just said, stretch it forth. You know, he didn't pray for the muscles and for the veins and for the nerves and everything else. The man with legion, the man with over 2,000, you know, demons, weird and, you know, heavy duty demons, he just looked at and said one word. He said, go.
Amen.
Because of his authority, because of his authority, and he gave us that same authority. We have that name of Jesus to use. And I love the fact that God made the name of Jesus, the humiliated one, the most powerful name. He didn't make it Christ or Christ Jesus, but he made that name that relates to the humiliated one, the name that's above every name, and every knee must bow to that name.
Amen.
I think I think God just sort of gave the devil the finger with that one.
Yeah, and every time we use that name with faith, we also give the middle finger.
I agree.
We have to remember, we have to remind ourselves, you know, because of what God's done, that we are extraordinary. We're not ordinary people. And it's not because of our ability or anything. It's because of God's ability, his love, and what he's filled us with. And we just need to exercise that authority and realize that, you know, the authority of our words. You know, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it should eat the fruit thereof. And, you know, I encourage you, if you listen to that Faith and Confession seminar, go through it again, remind yourself. Keep yourself hot with these truths, and, you know, that name which is above every single name, Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, you know. And even right now, when we use that with faith, and as God works in us to use that too, then things happen, baby. It happens, you know. So,
well, you know, we have to realize that cancer is a name. It's a name that was given to something. All of these things that are you know, phobias, fear, all these things are a label, which is a name that was given, and so was the name Jesus Christ given.
And
your seminar on that is just dynamic, you know. But it is, and I think what really besets us as believers at times, and so many people, is that once we are made extraordinary, like you said, there's sometimes people tend to try to live back into an ordinary life.
That's right.
and no, I mean, once you start doing that, we don't lose what we have. We'll never lose what we have. You know, given to us by God, but we will lose that sense of our understanding of our sonship, of the foundation that we have with our relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will lose the sense of the power of what we had. I saw that, you know, in combat where when people, I mean, they used to call it, now they call it PTSD, but they used to call it battle fatigue. Where people just give up fighting because of fear or whatever. And we can't do that as believers. We have to understand that we're never on a defensive, and that's what the enemy tries to teach us, or the world tries to teach us, that we're on a defensive, like with this coronavirus crap. You know, that we're on the defensive. We are always on the offensive because we're coming from a position, a seated position in the heavenlies in Christ. Jesus Christ passed that baton unto us in John 14, where he says that the only criteria, the only criteria. He who believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also a greater works than
me. Amen. That's it.
You know, so now I'll pass it on. Someone else.
Right, so we got...
Okay, thank you very much. Praise God and praise Jesus Christ. And God bless you all. It's great hearing from all of you again tonight as well. You know, I was stumped tonight, and I said to the Lord before fellowship, "I'm empty. What do you want me to say? You know, you're going to have to put it there." And He has. He's put it there yet again. And a couple of things, really. I mean, we hear about the great big things, but. Then I thought about the universe, and how God intricately designed the whole universe, right? He didn't just put a big thing there. He put a tiny detail, then another tiny detail, then another tiny detail. Atoms and particles, right? We can't even see it with the human eye, what He's done. And there was something happened the other day. I was on my way back from... I was cycling, and I needed to pick up some milk for my mum, so I stopped at the garage, and there's nowhere to lock it. Well, there is. There's no bike lock place. In a lot of places here, you can get, like, they put metal bars there so you can lock your bike against it, but there was nothing there. There was just a trolley stand, so I just hooked my bike up to the trolley stand, and I came out, and I saw a guy the other side of the forecourt. And he wheeled his bike over to where I was, but didn't put it where my bike was. And I said to me, "If you want to lock your bike up, that's a good place." He said, "Oh no, I'm trying to get some air from my tire. I've got a flat tire." And I said, "Well, I've got a pump." He said, "No." He said, "Well, of course." So I helped him pump his tire up, and he was quite stunned. And I said, "Well, God is good, you know. He loves you." And it didn't lead into this massive open door where powerful things happened. It was just a little thing. But, you know, the detail of that meant that that guy could ride his bike to and from work every day. And I thought to myself, if that was me and I'm stuck, I would have loved it if someone had come along with a pump at that point. He could have to ride, he had to ride about 5 or 10 miles or something the next morning. So I thought, wow, God really is good, because He covered it like that. And it was one of those things where I was lingering and I didn't know why until that happened. And then I got on my way. So it was just really neat, and it really blessed the socks off of me. Then today, I was chatting to a guy, and he said, "Yeah, I'm doing great." He said he had these earphones on, he's playing some game, and he said, "I'm playing my game, I'm stoned." he smokes weed. And I said, "Well," I said, "you know what?" I said, "That's great." I said,
"I have some too."
Yeah, you got some from me. I could do with some of that, man, with what's going around. No. But I said to him, I looked up in the air and I pointed upwards. I said, "When you got a connection with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Lord, and you learn to speak in tongues," I said, "you don't even need your game. You don't even need your weed. You don't need to be stoned." He said, "You'll be in a far better place than that can ever take you." I said, "Yeah, you've got the things of life coming up." I said, "But you've got peace." And I said, "You don't need anything else when you've got that. When you've got that connection, there's nothing else you need." And again, it was just a little snippet to give this guy. I've shared with him before, and he isn't coming this direction yet, but one day maybe. And I just thought, well, what can I say? He needs to hear that, and I need to keep myself lined up and not go into the conform to the world thing in agreement, but just to lovingly show him something, you know. So then I heard somebody mentioned here tonight coronavirus, and I know last week I shared that my mum was mentioned it to me. I was in the UK already. I said, yeah, so what? I brushed it off because I'm a believer. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not falling for that nonsense. I'm not glorifying it. And all I've seen, words came to mind tonight, spin doctoring, right? We know, I remember following the Trump campaign and all the things that were being pumped out through the media about him, and it was all designed to pull him down and stop him getting into the White House, because they knew that as soon as he gets in there, there's going to be a lot of good done. And sure enough, we've seen result after result after result happen over there now, and I want our leader of our country to do that in this country, to follow suit and to take charge of the country, basically, in the way that Donald Trump has done with America. And they're still trying to pull him down now. But I heard, I can't remember what her name is, but she's high up in political circles, powerful.
Pelosi, yeah.
And she actually explained what spin doctoring is, and she said, you just, I think it's along the lines of, you say something, somebody else overhears it, and the press get hold of it, and they make a big thing out of it, and it must be, everybody says it must be that, because the media have said it. Even Donald Trump calls it fake news. And I thought, good for you. And he stands up and boldly says it. And that came to mind with this virus, this thing we've just killed, right? This thing we've just pronounced dead. Spin doctrine. It's spin doctrine. The press get hold of it, they blow it all out of proportion. And what happens then is, alright, a fisherman goes fishing, right? He's a fishmonger, right? What does he bring in? He brings in fish on his trawler. Fear-mongering works the same way. Only it brings fear, not fish. So, someone just throws the line out, throws this statement out. Oh my gosh, this virus is crazy. And I believe it is man-made. I believe scientists are on the end of this. And it could be Western scientists. The Western scientists have dabbled, you know, even special agents have dabbled in countries they shouldn't have dabbled in. There was something about an Agent Orange thing in one of the Malaysian countries once upon a time, and affected the ground or something, and it was a man-made thing. And the generations that came after that generation in that country were born with deformities, and they linked it to this thing that this Agent Orange did over there. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if somebody just went over there from another country, blamed it on China, when it may not even be the Chinese that are to blame for it. I've heard the Saudi Arabians are to blame for it as well. Who cares? That's looking at the flesh. We know behind it is the enemy of God and the enemy of people, and is out to steal, kill, and destroy. It's as simple as that. It's John 10:10b, and we can see it plain as day. And for me, God has prepared us for every day that comes along, and for every eventuality. And we got the scriptures. We don't neglect the scriptures, and we don't neglect walking by the Holy Spirit and standing in our authority, which we did tonight. But I was thinking about, do we believe the scriptures? Do we really believe the scriptures? Do we believe Isaiah 54:17? No weapon or no whatsoever that is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue rising up against us in judgment we shall condemn. It's the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of the Lord Jehovah, says the Lord Jehovah, right? He's the one that said it, and Jesus Christ echoed it. Do we actually believe that that is the truth? Philippians 2 came to mind as well, and it's just a real dandy, this is, because verse 9 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, not coronavirus, not any other name, but Jesus Christ, highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, right? So Jesus Christ's name is above coronavirus. And so if his name is above it, and we're in Christ, because we're the body of Christ, we're seated in the heavenlies at the right hand side of God the Father with Jesus Christ. So that means we're above anything this world can put out, anything the enemy can put out. And that, and you know, the more people we can bring with us to sit with us, the better. And that's the salvation coming to other people. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth. Right? Whatever's on this earth has to bow at his name. So as soon as we rebuke something in Jesus Christ's name, that thing has to go. That thing has to bow and submit and go. If it doesn't, the angels of God are going to come and deal with it. Bet your life on it. Alright? And you can tell it that straight. You say, you get out, or the angels of God are going to come and remove you. Do you want that? If we only we could really see how much power we got, how much authority we've got to do this, and the right to do it as well. We've got the God-given right to do this, and things under the earth as well. So it covers every eventuality. The name of Jesus Christ is above everything. I don't remember God ever saying that any name was above Jesus Christ's name. He's equal with the Father. Do you know what I mean? Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't confess anything else as Lord. I definitely don't. I will not give it glory. And this is to the glory of God, not to the glory of things in this world. And then what came to mind after that, a spin-off from that, was something we all know this stuff. Romans 8. We look in Romans 8, 31. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? What things? The things sent to distract us from believing God. Anything. It could be anything in this world. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Nothing, right? And it all lines up. It all lines up with the stuff in the Old Testament that we've been given to believe. And verse 35, who or what shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. It's up to us to believe it and rise up to that point to do what we did tonight and stand in our authority, literally. And not just when we're together, but when you're out there on your own, remember God is with you, Jesus Christ is with you. Are you going to stand in your authority? Am I going to stand in my authority? I've got to challenge myself on that as well. I've got to make sure I'm on it. More than conquerors through him that loved us. So we're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. For I am persuaded, and I am persuaded, I personally am persuaded, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, any powers, whatever it is called, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or thing that's in existence shall be able, shall have the ability to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that love stands for all eternity. It spans our lifetime now while we're on this earth, and it spans once Jesus Christ the Lord has come and gathered us up, and everlasting after that as well. And that was as far as the things coming to my heart went. So,
great stuff.
Couple of little testimonies, and just to share these things to just encourage everybody, really. I know the Father's into encouragement. We heard it tonight, and I've been encouraged with this. It's what comes to my mind, and so I'm just sharing that out with everybody else. So God bless you. I love you all.
Bless your heart, Jesus. So there's Chrissy. Chrissy, would you like to share, sweetheart? Chrissy, are you there? Chrissy, are you fair? Right, I don't know if she can hear us or... Okay. Chrissy, can you hear us, darling? It don't look like it. Okay. Nancy Shemp, would you like to share?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, go for it, sweetheart.
Okay. We heard everything. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Carry on.
Okay, we were in the car, and we had to go to the store to try to find some hand sanitizer. No, I'm just kidding you.
You joker, you.
Yeah, no, there were some things that I had to do this morning. And the reason why, Mike, did you share anything with them? Mike DiGiorgio, wake up.
Yeah, he did.
About me?
Yeah, it wasn't too good, but we praying for you.
Can you hear me now?
We almost got worried.
Yeah, did you share about the other night?
I shared, but I didn't mention your name because of the lockbox. I didn't mention your name.
All right, I'll tell him. Anyway, I decided to go to get these cataracts removed on my eyes rather than buying new glasses. And I have two surgeries, one March 12th, one 19th. So mine are not yellow, mine are brown. So anyway, I went to the eye doctor. She's wonderful, very good, works out of my local hospital, which is excellent. And everything was set up, and then I had to have clearance appointments where you go and you have your heart checked, your blood work, all this for a 10-minute surgery, literally 10 minutes. So anyway, she saw something in the retina, then I had to go to a retina doctor. That was last week ago, Monday, and the retina doctor said, no, it's not a cyst, and I'm like, okay, goodbye, I just need clearance. So then last week, I had 8 doctor appointments for these stupid cataracts, and the final appointment was Thursday at my cardiologist, that we go to once a year, you know, just to get a checkup. Anyway, he came back. He did the EKG. He did the chest X-ray. He did all that stuff. And he came back, and we were gone over the weekend. I took a weekend off. I get a phone call Saturday morning that your kidneys are in the third stage of kidney failure. And my creatinine number went from 1.1, which is pretty much what it's always been, to 1.53.
Oh.
So now, I had it on the weekend. I had Monday morning, I had to get a doctor appointment for Tuesday. Actually, they fit me in Monday morning. I called and they got me in. And so I went Monday morning to the primary doctor to get this all cleared up with all these numbers and garbage. And she said, that's when she said it was 1.53, but I'm going to redo your blood work and I'm going to redo a urine test because my urine came back that it was had bacteria or some crap. So anyway, so she couldn't clear me. She wanted me to go to a kidney doctor. Now, this was Monday. I had 3 doctor appointments Monday. And then Tuesday, I had to go to this kidney doctor. So Monday night, I called my... I mean, I was pooped. I was tired. I just wanted to go to sleep for a week. But anyway, I called Mike. I said, you know, I really want to get this cataract surgery done. And could you pray for me? And so he ministered to my eyes and everything else in my body that was going on through this week of garbage. So I went to this kidney doctor, and I got there on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock, and they had gotten the new blood work and the new report for the urine test from my doctor that took it the day before. And they had gotten it already. And so I went in and sat down and talked and told him, you know, what do you eat? What do you do? This and that. And normally that would be a high. For you to jump that high is not a good thing. So they said that the new blood work came back and it was lower than it was before in October. So there was no problem with the kidney. And as far as the other specimen that came back, everything had been clear. So that was after my, and I was like, well, praise the Lord, because I ain't going to no more doctors, and you guys all better figure out who needs to do clearance for what here, because this is getting out of hand. So that was my week. That was a great blessing to me.
Awesome.
So anyway.
Wow, that's great, Nancy.
You know, some of the things you want to stay away from when you get older, believe it or not, is bananas, oranges, and salt, and a lot of heavy grains and things like that. And last week, because I had so many appointments, I was grabbing bananas and oranges and peanut butter and stuff and just taking it with me so I had something when I came out. And usually that could throw your kidney off in a blood test, but I told the doctor on Tuesday, the kidney doctor now, I said, it's really funny. They did my blood work on Monday and Saturday and Sunday. We were in Atlantic City eating junk food and all kinds of Chex Mix and Doritos and every garbage thing. And yet with all of that, the blood work was perfect. So anyway, that was what I wanted to share. So today, we just went down. I had to pick up some stuff for doing for a baby shower for my granddaughter. It's called a sprinkle. When you have a second baby, they don't do a shower; they do a sprinkle. So I had to go get some things to make for that. And I was laughing because all of our stores here, they already went to the store. They're out of all the cleaners, and the toilet paper. But you know. Kim and Lauren, just so you know the bottles of stuff I gave you, the Young Living?
Yeah.
Well, you got clove oil, you got all this other this stuff. All you got to do is put it in an empty glass little bottle with a little water and a little alcohol. Actually, vodka works, believe it or not. You can put a little vodka in there. And you put in, if you're going to make a decent size, you just put in a few, maybe 10 drops of the thieves or the clove oil. And if you want to add a little olive oil or coconut oil, there you go. You've got the best hand sanitizer you could possibly want.
Oh, there you go.
It's really a joke, the whole thing, because you go in the store and everybody's touching everything, and you can't avoid it. You know what I did in the store? Because I had to take the scooter to get around quick. I went to the where they weigh all the vegetables and stuff, and they put, you know, your apples in a plastic. I got two plastic bags and put them on my hands. And then I just scooted around the place with the scooter. So, but, you know. And we also prayed before we got there. Yeah, we believe God.
That's great.
You know what? This is no different than any other virus that we've had, from what they're saying. It really, truly isn't. And even young people,
amen,
children, are not as susceptible to it. So, I don't know if Scott wants to say anything.
Yeah, I know. You know, whatever this virus is, from a local standpoint, from our standpoint, it's not bigger than God. So, we just take authority over it. So, from a local standpoint, I'm not going to speculate or downplay the seriousness of it, but you know, our God is bigger. Regardless of how big or how small or insignificant this virus is or how serious it is, God's got it. And Mom and I, before we went out, we just said a little prayer. We just thank God for keeping any infections and germs away from us. Mm-hmm. We had to do our shopping. We had to do our routine. So we had to do what we had to do. But God had his hand as a protection around us. So that we just claim that authority first and foremost. And then anything else in the situation, we just follow God's instructions and his guidance. So it'll protect us and he will guide us.
Yeah.
Amen, so, brother.
That's what I wanted to share really quickly. And I did listen. I connected a little earlier with your mom was with me when we were in the car. And we had to disconnect for a few minutes while we shut off the car and got the groceries inside. So, what Kim shared really blessed me, just how we take that authority that no bad thing in this world, viruses or whatever, is bigger than God. So, Mike, is Mike on with us tonight?
He is. Okay. Yeah, he sure is. Yeah.
My mom is interrupting me here, saying like, not sure that Mike had shared something. I think I caught the middle of that, but Mickey D, how's it going, Mikey?
Hey, good. What's happening? Yeah, I shared about praying for your mother, but I didn't name her.
Okay. Yeah, her numbers went right down on those kidney tests they did. Those levels went right back down to normal. So God took care of that.
When I was ministering to her, God is so funny. When I tried to minister to both of her kidneys, I couldn't sort of minister to both her kidneys. I don't know if you're there, Nancy, but I kept on going to the right one. It was like, yep. it was an infection to the right one. And I couldn't even sort of pray for the other one. I kept on being led to the right one, so. Our God, that's our God.
Well, and I can only give the left one away in a donation, right?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to sell that one.
I'll hang on to it in case anybody needs it.
Okay.
But I got a feeling we're going to be out of here before any of us need anything else. So. You never know. We never know. Could be in 10 minutes.
Yep.
Amen. It could be.
So anyway, it's been really... It's a blessed week. I've been running around like a chicken. But it's okay. I got up on the green side of the grass, and I'm not going to complain.
Okay, so Mike, you carry on.
Okay, Father, thank you. Thank you for this great fellowship. Thank you for making it available. Thank you, Father, how through your love, mercy, grace, and great wisdom that you made the internet available for us to have a fellowship, that we can get together, hear your word, hear from you, bless each other through Skype, through the internet, even through Facebook, Father, how you managed to just take that technology and work it for you. And that's just your greatness. It's just your majesty at work. And we thank you. We lift to you this trip for the Lord, for everything coming together that he needs, for his safety, the safety of his flights, the safety there, and for just showing him you like you've never showed him before. And I thank you for your love, mercy, and grace in our lives, for teaching us, for helping us to stay humble, that we're not always right, that if we open our hearts, even a child can teach us. So I thank you for this, Father, and for everybody on Skype and people who weren't able to make it tonight. I lift to you our families, our children, our loved ones,
and I claim their lives, their health, and their safety in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Father, right now I place my hands spiritually on Dottie's body and on her hips and on her back, and I speak complete total healing, wholeness to that body. The restorative power in the hands, in my hands, Father, because of what your Son has finished. And I thank you, Father, for having finished it all. And I speak the peace to her mind. And I speak great comfort to her body, that she knows she is being healed. A warmth that goes through her body that is burning off the bacteria that doesn't belong there, so that there's no infection will not set up in her body. And I speak to her heart, that it beats as it should, and all the blood vessels, that they pump the blood and the white blood cells to that area where the healing needs to take place. And I speak to that body, and I speak wholeness to that body in the name of Jesus Christ. Dottie, be whole.
Amen.
Amen.
So we'll have three people manifest, please.
Dear Heavenly Father God, I think I'll stop right there.
You are my children, and my strength, my God, my good God, the three are powerful because I am in you, and you speak my words. You speak in my authority because you have faith and you are strong. Go forth and speak the word. Speak what I inspire in your heart. Be bold. You are the light of the world. You are salted, and it makes taste to this world. People need my word, and you are those who bring this world by your speaking, by your works I prepared in advance for you. I need your help, and you need me. I love you.
Be bold, my child. You are the mighty conquerors through my Son, Jesus Christ, that now dwells in you. You are the ones that carry on your hearts the truth, the love, and the power that made all that you can see and all that I show you. And this world does know that, but you know it, because I gave it to you. So go boldly on that world, and go show them what I have for everyone that believes me. Go and show them how you believe me, and how that love I have for you can do all things to the Christ that dwells in you. And so, my beloved ones, you are my hands, my eyes, my ears, my voice. You are the ones that now represent me in that world. And you are the ones who are going to bring to me the ones that are looking for me, even the ones that they don't know what they are aiming for. Be bold, my dear, because I'm always with you.
Beautiful. And one more person, please.
My people, know of a surety that there is nothing, nothing I wouldn't do for you. My hand is not slack. My arms are not weak. My shoulders are broad. There's nothing I cannot do. Just look around you. I've made this world. I've spoken light into being.
There's nothing I can't do in your life. I have already given you my utmost, my greatest, which was my son. Everything else is just a drop in the bucket. Everything else is just easy for me. For I am the Lord thy God. I am the only Almighty God. And I live within you.
Well, thank you, wonderful Heavenly Father, for your love. Our mighty God, our mighty El Shaddai, thank you for your loving kindness and how you love us, how you're with us, how you're mighty and you work mightily within us. And that, Father, that we can truly be those lights in this world. Thank you, Father, for helping us, Father, as we stir up that gift within us, that you just really energize that spirit within us, Father, as we speak in tongues, as we pray, as we desire, that we can hear your still small voice and move at your direction. Thank you, Father, for blessing each precious soul on your Skype fellowship here, Father. Thank you. This is your Skype fellowship, God. And thank you for the great honor and privilege to be a part of it, that you continue to bless it. It can continue to be a source of encouragement and edification and comfort and exhortation from the word speaking, from the teaching of your word, Father, to the manifestation and the prayers and the heart sharings and the testimonies. Thank you for those great testimonies that you give us daily. And that, Father, that you get glorified when we give our testimony of what you've done. And we know it's all because of you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for a great time in India, Father, that I can really learn all the things that you desire for me to see and understand and know, and that I can be a blessing when I'm there to others, and that, Father, that again, that I can bring back what I learn and share it with others also, and to do it. So I just thank you for your direction, your vision, and your loving kindness for each one of us and for bringing us all together. Only you could do that, God. And I thank you for the humble hearts on here too, and just how you are really working powerfully in all of our lives, individually and collectively together. So I thank you for this and a great Skype fellowship that we've had, and give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.